All right, we're here at session 6 of this Deacon Servants of the Church course.
Yeah, and last time, you know, we looked at the good news. Right. Boy, that being a deacon and doing that well gives you...
Yeah, what a blessing.
Yeah, it gives you influence, gives you the joy of impacting people positively. And that is, that
so
is rewarding.
Joy in your salvation with Jesus and assurance.
Right, and seeing him at work in life, it's fun. But then we, you know, ended on kind of the bad news, and that is that you've got to be ready because there's likely going to be, some kind of personal attack on you or your family. And so we're going to look at two things today. One is just looking at your own prayer life briefly, and then secondly, how you have to have some boundaries within your life, because being in a helping ministry is draining. Those who do this, I mean, I've got a good friend who's a counselor, and he'd just say, you know, there were times he had to just take a break, because when you're dealing with burdens all the time, and sometimes dealing with people who take advantage of your good-natured help, it has a negative effect. So,
right. Yeah, I think that's why this session is so important, because the boundaries of that healthy prayer life and the boundaries of, yeah, when you're a giver, you can certainly overgive to the point of being taken advantage of, and then your giving starts to become a stumbling block for both yourself and the person that you're trying to help and serve.
Right. So let's get to it.
All right.
How's your prayer life? Now, there are a variety of ways of doing prayer. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, in other words, asking your own thing, using the outline of the Lord's Prayer and the petitions for prayer. Some people like to use devotionals. I have found helpful, Dick Eastman years ago came out with a book called The Hour That Changes the World, and he introduces these 12 facets of prayer. And says, you know, if you do each one for 5 minutes, it's 60 minutes. Now, I don't do all of these anymore, but I, you know, use praise and worship, confession, scripture. Watching is where is the enemy at work?
Yeah.
And I look in the world, and there's a lot of places to name there. I look in my family, and where is the enemy at work? Intercession, petition, in other words, what are my needs today? Thanksgiving. And, sometimes it's contemplation. So I don't do all of these, but they give me an outline for prayers. Now, you know, it's a challenge. I mean, my goodness. I mean, young families. Oh, my goodness. Where do you find?
I definitely am sick of that, because I was mentioning it about a sermon I watched recently, but it's like talking a lot about that consistency of getting in your kid's life, that model. And it's like with the toddler and the baby, we've been struggling.
Yeah. It's a lot easier when you're retired. I can say that. But it's a challenge. But, you know, my point is, if you're a deacon, if that's, you know, part of the calling in your life, and it's a calling on all of our lives, is to be able to identify some of those places, that times that I can... I can make sure I'm connecting to the power in my life. And so whatever method you use, and it's different for some people, whatever method it is, I use it and go.
And keep it consistently in your life.
The other thing to note is to have people praying for you.
Yeah.
Now, it took me a long time, and it was a professor who someone asked him in class, how's your prayer life? He says, my prayer life is fantastic. He says, but I don't spend that much time in prayer. But he had developed this idea of having people praying for him when a person came to him and said, I feel God calling me to pray for you. And he said that was just freeing to know that I was busy, and he was busy in a teaching ministry, and he was busy in administering several international programs. But he says, I knew that every day I was being lifted up by somebody whose spiritual gift was intercession. And so he found, so he said, I decided to multiply those. And so that's, you know, number one is that to find some person with whom you can share everything. Mm-hmm. And now, in those people are usually, you know, you're called, they're called to that. Sometimes it's an arrangement. My level one intercessor, I will call him that, was a guy that I worked with on a regional and national board. And, you know, God knit our hearts together in a passion for the church and the growth of the church. And so, you know, we still every month connect for an hour and a half phone call. I can share anything with him and know it's safe and know he will be lifting that up daily. And I do that for him as well. The level two, that next outer one, are people that, you know, generally say, I'll pray for you. Now, my level two people were both ones who came to me and said, you know, I pray for you. And I said, good. And every Friday I would send out a prayer email to people saying, you know, this is what I'm dealing with this week. These are the meetings I've got. This is when I prepare for my message. This is when I do this. And say, you know, pray for me. And so that group, you know, in California was probably about 30 people. When I came here to Grand Haven, it was probably about 35, because they were ahead of that. They had a group that prayed for the pastor. And then level three is just that bigger group of, hey, you know, appreciative prayer for me. I never once went to a person when I was recruiting people, never once said, hey, I'm recruiting people to pray for me because I'm dealing with this. And I have never been turned down by that. You know, there were people, some I never dealt with. I didn't talk with them outside of that, sending them that prayer request sheet every week. You know, these people faithfully lifted me up in prayer. And, you know, if there's any accolades that go to my ministry and leadership and preaching, I say, it's there. It's some of those people who are lifting me up. And October in the United States is a horrible month for pastors because it's Pastor Appreciation Month. And those were terrible months because, you know, you think, you hope you're going to get a bunch of cards or something, but it doesn't ever pan out quite that way. But to my joy, this last week in October, I got a letter from somebody who was in my church and was one of my prayer partners, and just saying how much they appreciated that, and and that they continue to pray for me as I'm in this. And so, yeah, so those intercessors.
So important.
Yeah, and God calls some people to pray for you. It's fascinating. Call for you. You know? Yeah, oh, I see that next slide. That is a 1961 Chevrolet station wagon. It's a station wagon my family owned when I was 16 years old and had just gotten my driver's license. And that's our decrepit house behind it. I found that picture. My brother sent me a bunch of pictures from way back. And I burned my father's camera when he died. And anyway, this one has meaning for me because I was on my way to pick up my date on a Friday night. And date happened to be the woman who became my wife. So we started dating when we were 16. And I'm turning left. So I'm waiting. There's a light. I'm turning left. It turns yellow. I turn. Somebody was trying to beat the red light and slammed into the back end on the passenger side. And, I wasn't hurt. I just didn't know what happened, but I tried to put the car in gear and tried to get it to move, and it wouldn't move. And turns out the fender had been smashed up against the tire and all that. And long story short, it was hauled to a gas station where there's a mechanic. It was about a mile away, and I went there, and I'm sitting there, you know, what do you do? He said, well, I can maybe get it running. So he takes a blowtorch and he cuts away from around the tire, the fender from around the tire, and he says, now drive it down the street so I can see it. So I get in, drive it down the street and drive it back, and he comes back and says, well, he says, you can drive it to get home. He says, but you can't drive this car very much. He said, because everything's out of alignment.
Mm.
And as a result, it's going to be fighting itself, and it's going to fall apart someday when you're driving it. Yeah. Anyway, that has become a parable for me.
Right. You're a life in alignment.
Right. Yeah. And I know, and you can take my the class in CLI on leadership that I teach on the dark side of leadership. My life has been out of alignment at times. And I know the importance of making sure that to my best of my ability and the grace of God that it's in alignment. So, that's one part.
And keeping good boundaries is where we're going next, and that's a huge part of keeping that life in alignment.
Yeah. How do you do that, by the way, as a young mother, before we even get into that?
Okay. I think kids do thrive on schedule, so I think in my current phase, kind of trying to keep that schedule and go, okay, it's a huge blessing to be at CLI because I have my kids on site here, so it's so encouraging that they're in a space where they're being taught the love of Christ, they're being modeled that, while I'm here getting to work at CLI, so that helps kind of keep me in alignment to an extent, and then it's like you get home and it's got to be, okay, we've got our chores that we do, we've got all the cooking, this and that, but again, getting done at 3, we get kind of an opportunity to, we could play with them and then do a little Bible reading or whatever, and try and just keep that, like I said, I think schedule is big for kids, but it's hard because every day is a new challenge, All of a sudden Mike has got 2 teeth coming in and he's just sitting there crying on the floor. It's hard, but I think keeping those boundaries is important because one of my struggles as a person has been I'm an outgoing lastborn who loves to say yes. I am totally can be a yes person. And even as a parent, that's not a good thing to say yes to your kid. It has its place. I like that I can be an agreeable person. But at the same level, if you don't have boundaries and you just say yes, 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 I think I just did that this past week. I said yes to a ton of things. I did something every night. I literally got home last night at 2 a.m. from Chicago because I said yes to doing an event Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yes to you to record it. I would say I had a little out of alignment.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. And now, the reason this is included in this training session for deacons is that as you become a helper of people and a servant in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to find that there are some people who will take advantage of you. There are some people who reach out and they will, and like you say, we're motivated people. We want to help people in the name of Jesus. But that should not be done at the cost of more important things, right? So, so keeping good boundaries. Now, the expert on this is named Henry Cloud. There he is, boundaries.me. You can look that up and you can get more. We're giving you just an introduction today to the idea of boundaries. Now, when Henry Cloud talks about boundaries, he begins with this. He says, we all know if you own a home or you live in a house, it's got boundaries, right? There's a yard. My house has a fence around the yard and a gate on each side. And I have control over who gets into my yard and who gets into my house in many respects, right? So we got boundaries. And the boundaries, who owns it? Well, I own it. Who controls it? I control it. Who's responsible for who comes into my house? I'm responsible.
Yeah.
Now, I can let people in with a variety of ways. So the neighbor wants to come in. Our feelings, attitudes, behaviors, choices, there are things that will want to come into our area, our space, our life. I have control over who I let in. Now, I can let in. I've got a door in the front. I've got a door in the garage. I tell you, my grandchildren have free access anytime. They've got the code to open the garage door and walk in the back. They're open. My daughter, who lives near me, and her husband, anytime, they're welcome to come in. But there are some others who aren't. Years ago, a man named Gordon MacDonald defined people a variety of ways. He said they're the VIPs in your life, the very important people. You treat them differently than everybody else. They are the very trainable people that you want to invest in if you're a leader. But then there are the very dependent people. And these are people who will, the old phrase is, if you give them an inch, they'll want a mile. And if you're a deacon, you're going to meet some of those. Now, you don't have to say no all the time, but you've got to make sure that they don't control your life.
Yeah, that's a balance. Again, life is in alignment, that you're staying in an appropriate relationship with them.
Yeah. It took me a long time. You're learning it younger than I did. A long time in ministry, because I thought I had to answer yes to everybody, right? Because I was, Jesus' representative on the earth. And it took me a long time. My wife was very helpful in this, to realize that other people's emergency didn't necessarily have to be mine. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day when I got this call from the woman, says, could you come over and talk to my son? He's here and he's doing this. We were sitting down to dinner as a family. And I said, will your son be there tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. You can come into the office. I've got an open hour at 11 o'clock. Now, that's defining my boundaries, is you're not going to interrupt my dinner with my three young kids.
Special time with your children, yeah.
I'm still going to try to meet the need, but...
Not at the expense of your family.
Not at the expense of family. This is tough to learn. It's just tough to learn for those of us with soft hearts. For some, it comes easily. I've got friends in ministry for whom this was... This was simple.
Not a concern.
Right. It wasn't a concern. You don't want to push people away, but know that these people are going to be out there. And when you open that door a crack, they're going to be wanting to plow in.
One of the things that's really helped me as, again, a person who likes to say yes a lot is to realize that if I'm all about trying to love and help people, sometimes saying yes again and again and again is just harmful to them. It is harmful to you. Mm-hmm. And in the end of the day, saying no is the more loving choice in that moment. And I think that's something that really has to be understood, again, for someone like you said who has a soft heart for wanting to be there immediately for people, wanting to do this and that. But again, it comes at a cost that is not worth saying yes in that moment.
Right. In fact, we're going to have a session later in this class called When Helping Hurts. And, that you're exactly right. You say yes all the time, that's not helpful to what you want to build in people. And so this is just making you aware that... you've got control of your feelings, your attitudes, your behaviors, your choices. Make sure that you exercise that control. Say yes when you can, but not always. Now, here's a quote from Henry Cloud. How do you say no? Saying no is hard, right? But you've got to set your priorities. That comes before you can say yes. So let your priorities be the strategy that tells you when to say yes and when to say no. Say yes to people and activities that help you realize and fulfill your dreams, relationships, and pursuits that you have prioritized. Say no to the people and activities that push you further away. Now, as a deacon, you're going to have a priority of being a helping voice and a helping hand to people. It is going to be part of your priorities. But... your family is a higher priority. Your own spiritual and physical and emotional health is a higher priority. And so draw your boundaries. Hold to them. It was very hard for me to say no the first few times I started to catch on to this. Mm-hmm. It gets a lot easier.
Right. Once you see the benefit of doing that, well, it even goes back to, thinking of the deacons that were appointed to care for the widows. It's like, they could easily start all of a sudden trying to do this and that, and now all of a sudden these widows aren't being cared for again. They've moved away from the priority by trying to maybe say yes to things that really were not what they were called to do in the priority. And like you said, of course, that stress on your family being priority, your spiritual well-being being that priority.
So we're going to continue this next time. I hope this is a good adventure for you at this point, but these are things we're just talking about. What do you do as a deacon? Well, this is part of it. We'll explore more next time.
See you soon.